We work at making Jesus Lord of our lives. That He's the boss. That He's the one that we look to for guidance, for wisdom, for help, for values, for standards, for decisions, for everything. That He would be Lord. That we would let Him handle our past. That we would let Him control our present. And that we would trust Him for our future. Sometimes Christians, I think, maybe some of us, tend to think that it's really only in the future that we have hope in Christ. That we believe that Jesus is going to come back to the earth. He's going to establish a kingdom here on earth. It's eventually going to fill the earth. And it will be absolutely perfect. Jesus will rule. We'll actually rule with Him. There will be, as Kay read from Revelation, there will be no sorrow or death, or there'll be no sickness, there'll be no pain. It'll be beautiful, it'll be perfect, it'll be a paradise. And that's what has been promised to us. And of course, we look forward to that. However, it is not only in the future that we have hope or help in Christ. What do we do in the meantime? Well, I think there's a lot of help available in Christ. When I consider the life problems that have been faced or that are being faced, I just wish we could delete the extra spaces between now and the coming of Christ and just be there. I wish we could fast forward to the coming of Christ. It's not that I don't enjoy life, and it's not that I don't enjoy this life and my life, my family, my church, and much about it. But there's a lot of trouble in this life today. And many of you have experienced it. And if you haven't, you will. Because such is the fact of life. We will all face troubles and problems. But then I'm reminded that it is not just for the future that we have hope in Christ. Jesus makes a difference in our lives today. Or at least He can. He offers to. He wants to. He very much wants to. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. What are the promises available to us in Christ today, in the here and now? We'll look at a number of promises for this life, and I'm hoping that you'll find this encouraging. I'm hoping that you'll look up. We're going to see a number of scriptures. I hope that you'll turn to them. We'll start in Matthew. We'll just kind of work our way through. They'll all be in order, so it should be pretty easy to find them. But I'm hoping that we can realize that while it's true there's much for us in the future, and while it's also true that Jesus requires, God and Jesus both, require obedience and really much from us in this life today, there's also much promise as well. Please turn to Matthew 5. This is toward the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We know these scriptures as the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, we're going to read the first 12 verses. As we read, I will admit, basically these fulfillments are future. They're going to take place at the coming of Christ in the kingdom of God. However, there is very much a promise for us here and now. And we'll talk about that. Matthew 5, we'll read the first 12 verses. Okay, Matthew 5, 1. But when He saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, granted, all of these promises are basically in the kingdom. They're in the future. They're down the road. However, the blessedness that He refers to, at least 10 times, I didn't count them to be sure, But this blessedness, this contentedness is ours today if we focus on those things that are yet to come. Please do not discount what this blessedness, this contentedness can mean in your life today. The peace that it can mean. Blessedness is, sometimes the word bless is said to mean happiness. I think it's far more than happiness. Happiness is so, you know, whether you're happy today or not is dependent often as to whether the sun shines or whether your car starts, or it's based on your circumstances. It's happenstance. And I think we're being promised a lot more than this. Blessedness is a contentedness. It's an inner joy. It's a peace that we can enjoy no matter what we're facing today or tomorrow. However, in order to enjoy this blessedness today, and that blessedness is promised, but in order to enjoy it, I think we have to be focusing on these things that Jesus is requiring, the poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so forth. All of Jesus' promises are conditional, but so many of them apply to today. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, familiar passage here. And I do hope you look every one of these up. It's better if you read it as I read it, if you become familiar with your scriptures. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34, Jesus is speaking. It's also part of the Sermon on the Mount. You're real close there. He said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We didn't read the verses leading up to this, but Jesus had been cautioning His listeners about being focused on the cares and the concerns and the necessities of life. And He's saying, don't be so focused on those things. He promises that if we would just focus on two things, prioritize these two things, He says, the rest of it will take care of itself. Those two things being the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. It's just like what we read in Matthew 5. If we can focus on what's future, if we can lay our sights on what's to come, then this life is going to be a whole lot better, a whole lot more blessed and peaceful and restful. Seek first the kingdom and then His righteousness. Go another chapter, Matthew 7. We'll look at verses 24 and 25. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's kind of wrapping up and wanting to make application, actually wanting us to make application. Matthew 7, verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Notice, He does not promise that there will be no wind. He doesn't promise there'll be no rain. He doesn't promise there'll be no flood. These things are going to come. In fact, the Scriptures tell us elsewhere, these things come upon the Christians and non-Christians alike. It's happenstance. It's just a part of life. But He says, if you listen to His words, if you live by them, then when these things come, it will not destroy you. You will be able to stand, and you will be able to survive, and I think even to thrive. And that's a promise. Then go to Matthew 11, if you would. Matthew 11, again, it's Jesus. It's an invitation that He gives, I think, to most of us, probably all of us. Matthew 11, we'll look at verses 28 through 30. And Jesus here invites us. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, I don't know what your emotional state is this morning, right here and now. I don't know how you're feeling about life or about your marriage or about your children or about your parents or about your job or work or neighbors, employees, family, whatever it might be. However, I'm guessing that every one of us has at one time or another been weary and burdened, almost to the point where you just feel like there's such a weight upon you that you can't take it any longer. If you've never experienced that, you're probably young, and you can probably count on it coming. It's just a part of life. But Jesus invites us. He says, you who experience this, I think all of us, he invites us, come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. Interesting word, R-E-S-T, in the Old Testament, it actually has reference to the kingdom, to the promises given to Israel and ultimately to the church. And so ultimately it has the bigger picture in mind. However, this promise is also for rest, for peace in this life today. Even as we, just like in the application about the wise men building his house on the solid foundation, on Jesus, his teachings, his word. If we do that, the rains will come, but we will stand. We will endure. And he promises that. He goes on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That phrase there in the middle, take my yoke upon you and you will learn from me. I was never a farmer, as Kay, you know, grew up in it, but I doubt if they used oxen, but I've read this. When you hook a couple of oxen together by yoke so that they can plow or pull a wagon or whatever they do, they often will put an older, experienced ox, and then right next to him, a younger, inexperienced one. One that needs to learn the ropes. One that needs to learn the commands. One that needs to learn, now's the time to pull and to give it all you've got. And this is what I think Jesus is saying when he says, take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is, don't you? You know, it's one of those things, and you stick your head through it. And Jesus is saying, join me in my yoke. And he's saying, learn from me. I don't think he's saying, I'll take away your problems. I do think he's saying, I'll pull along with you. I'll be there. I'll give you strength. I'll help. He's saying, learn from me. And then he's saying, I am gentle and humble in heart. We can learn how to be gentle and humble in heart. And I think we can also learn just everything about how to deal with the difficulties and the challenges and the troubles that we face in this life. And Jesus, again, says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think we can even say that if we're yoked together with him. Then Matthew 28, toward the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 28, toward the end of the book. We're going to start with verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Jesus is about to give the Great Commission to his disciples. He's about to ascend into heaven. 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And incidentally, so many times people will look at the teachings and the requirements of Jesus, the commands of Jesus, and they'll think, well, we don't really have to do it exactly like he said. Well, what if these disciples had gone to a different mountain? They would have totally missed out on the promise, the blessings, the commission, etc. We do have to do it just the way he said. They did go to the mountain, he said. Anyway, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then notice this promise. You know, upon doing this, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This promise of the presence of Jesus. In another passage it says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. This promise of the presence of Jesus is something I think we can, I want to say practice, and yet, whether we practice it or not, he's there. He's with us. He promises his presence. I think it's something that we should be aware of. When I get in my car and run an errand, Jesus is with me. Hopefully I'm yoked together with him. Everything that I do, I'm doing together with him. working toward the same goals, having the same values, the same everything. But Jesus promises His presence. And then go to Mark 10, the 10th chapter of Mark. Jesus makes, I think, a big-time promise here for those of you who have served the Lord, maybe for years and years, or those who will serve the Lord for years and years. For those of you who have given up one thing because of serving the Lord, given up something because of the gospel, whatever it might be. Consider what Jesus says here. Mark 10, verse 29. He says, I tell you the truth. And he said that a lot, I think about 80 times. But I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, you know, pretty much everything. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. He's saying, I don't care what you give up for me and for the gospel, you'll get back 100-fold. As I was thinking about this week and thinking about preaching on this and wanting to try to illustrate how I think this might apply, I'm thinking that, you know, a lot of, as a pastor, my father was a pastor, and I never knew my grandparents very well. We went to see them at Christmas, but that was about it. Because my father, you know, we moved from one church to another, and that's something that we gave up. Well, then I became a pastor, and again, my kids didn't know my parents, their grandparents very well, because we moved away from them. And likewise, I'm not elevating anything that I've given up. It's just a small illustration, but you know, it's like a pastor does give up their home, their hometown, etc. Except I came back to where I graduated, but anyway, my point is, you know, maybe I gave up some family interaction, etc., homes, whatever. Maybe I could have made more money in another field, whatever it might be. And yet, in this privilege of serving as a pastor, of serving different churches, I would say that I have many homes and brothers and sisters, mothers, children, and fields. Because, I mean, there are many places across this country where I could call up and say, listen, I've got to be traveling in your area. I'd like to see you. I come stay at your house. And people would be more than glad, I think, to, you know, let Alice and I come. They'd be glad to have Alice, probably, and let me come along, too. But, I mean, all of us, we would open up our homes to each other. We would share with each other. We do share with each other. Sometimes when there's a need, when there's a tragedy or a problem, people pour out their hearts and they give because we're like one big family. And I think this might be just one small way in which we might understand. However, notice as Jesus went on, He promised all this 100 times in this present age. He also threw in and persecutions. It's like, don't think that the Christian life is going to be easy or the life of service. There will be persecutions. But then He adds, and in the age to come, eternal life. Many promises available to us because of His love, with our commitment to Him, etc. We'll do one more, and I'm realizing it's 11:30 and I'm not even halfway through these promises. I won't do it next week because I have another topic for next week, but in a week or two, we'll come back and look at some more of these promises because I think it's so important we realize it's not just the kingdom. We don't just have to wait. He can be with us. He'll bless us. He'll take care of us in this life here and now. Luke 6:38, we'll just wrap up with this one. Jesus there said, if you want to take time to turn there, I'll give you a moment. Luke chapter 6, that clock is fast. I've only got 11:26. Yeah, I thought someone must be doing that. I used to do that to my teachers in school. Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus there said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, and I think this is His promise, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. A like reward for the way you dish it out. If you are kind, and if you are considerate, and if you are polite and if you're respectful and if you're generous, then I believe Jesus is promising these blessings are going to come back. Now, I don't think that means 24 hours a day and that 100% of the people you contact. But as a rule, He's going to make sure that people are wonderfully kind back to us. Now, the negative would be true, too. If you're a scoundrel and a snot, and if you're mean to people, you can count on the same thing coming back. But this is a promise, and if you're the right kind of person, if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Jesus is promising that's the way it's going to come back. There are a lot of promises. We're going to look at several more. I would just encourage you to realize a lot of our relationship with Jesus has to do with here and now. Blessings more than what we can count, more than what I think we're sometimes aware of. There's a lot to come, but there's a lot here and now.